So another big thing that we talked about is the rights of data subjects. Dave, you talked about that, right? The right of access, and that is not new. CCPA codified it for right to know, right to access, right to opt out of the sale, right to have it deleted, the kind of forgot right of erasure out of GDPR is codified in CCPA. And then the right, this is different, which is not necessarily in GDPR, is the right to have to be equal, have equal service and price, so not to be discriminated against because you exercise your privacy rights. So that existed. What CPRA has done has added, right? What you see here on the screen is not only do you have a right to know what's being collected, disclosed, and to whom, so these third parties, but also how long is retained and where the sold or shared. So for those of you guys who were don't have a document retention policy and were like, hey, you know, I don't have to worry about that. The CCPA, as amended by the CPRA, is trying to force organizations to think more deliberately through how long they're keeping this personal information and why. And then there's a right to rectify, which is much like the GDPR's right to correct any inaccuracies. And then what's new here is the right to limit use of what's called sensitive personal information. And we can talk later, I don't wanna take too much time going through what that category is, but some of it is intuitive what you would think it would be, right? Like your social security number and those things, but some of it not so much. And then the right to opt out of profiling automated decision making. Again, a little closer to GDPR with automated decision making being something you have to notify customers of and give them a right to not have occur to their personal information. The next piece is the security assessment obligations that came out of the CPRA, right? The idea that before it was kind of implicit that you had to have reasonable security procedures and measures because if there's a breach, due to your failure to have these reasonable measures, then there was a private right of action. There was a violation of CCPA, but it didn't say you had to have them, right? It didn't have that affirmative step. CPRA puts that affirmative step that you do have to have these reasonable security measures. And then I think another thing that's important is an annual audit. If the processing presents what's called a significant risk, I don't want to go into that because Dave's going to talk about high risk processing a little bit later, but that's important to understand what's that threshold for whether or not you have to have an annual audit. That's one of the things that CPRA brought to light. And then you have to submit a regular assessment. So it's not just this one time audit that Dave and I will help people do at the beginning of their program. That Tom is done at the beginning of NFL's program, right? It's not just this one time thing. It's something that Tom would have to do all the time if it's high risk processing, right? The significant risk type processing. Then the CPPA, which is an organization that has been created and is one of the first of its kind in the US, it's an organization that is only gonna be focused on enforcing and kind of policing the privacy laws and it's a protection agency that has the same power a lot of ways as the AG to enforce the statute. So then fines and enforcement. So this is the last thing we'll talk about before I'll turn it back to the panelists and get some questions going here. Is that under CCPA, there was a 30-day period to cure. You got the violations here. I won't read the slide to you. And I just talked about the private right of action. Well, with CPRA, 30-day period to cure goes away, which for a lot of folks are like, all the good that CPRA is supposed to do with clarification is for naught because of the 30-day period to cure. I will say this based on experience dealing with the California AG, they're more towards trying to get you to comply. So I wouldn't say the 30-day period going away is the end of the world. It just means it's not automatic. Like you don't have this right anymore. It's really gonna be up to the discretion of the AG, whether or not you're gonna have a chance to fix what the AG says is broken or what CPPA says is broken. And I've already talked about the enforcement being split. And then as far as the $7,500 value for violations, it now is going to really point not just to intentional, but whether or not intentional, if that violation involves personal information of young folks, right? If you have actual knowledge that it's kids, 16 or under, then that's going to be $7,500, even if you didn't know that it was an issue. And then the last thing is a private right of action is no longer just for not having what I talked about, just because of your lack of reasonable security measures. Now, if unencrypted personal information or an email address and password or security question and answer, right, is exposed, then that would open you up to this private right of action. With that, I want to talk a little bit about these the enforcement trends, right? This could be heaven or this could be hell. We will talk about this a little later with Dave, but that is one of the scary bears that's out there with CPRA is what does this really mean for enforcement? But before that, Tom, we talked a lot. I've talked a lot about all these different regulations, but this time talking about it. What does this mean though for you, for what you're doing with the NFL, what you used to do for McGraw-Hill? Because you've got many clients. How do you advise in marketing, IT? How do you prepare for example, the obligation to limit the use of sensitive information?
So thanks, Amiga. Definitely a busy time for us, right? So first off, I guess, in terms of talking about sensitive data, it's a new section of data that's defined under the CPRA. So you have government ID, any finances, geolocation, race, religion, union membership, communications, including emails, text messages, things like that, genetic data, biometrics, any health information or sexual orientation. Any of you that are familiar with GDPR, some similarities and overlap with some of the sensitive categories under GDPR, but you have some distinct differences here. And it's pretty broad. So like really having to take a step back and think about our approach to data is what we're doing here at the NFL right now, but what a lot of other companies are doing. So make sure you do a refresh on your data inventory and data mapping activity. If you haven't done one already, you should get started doing one, because it's really impossible to understand whether you have any of these and try to apply the requirements without understanding where the data lives, who has it, who has access to it, and what it's used for. Also a good opportunity to refresh your data retention approach. We'll probably talk a little bit more about it in depth later, but with CPRA, now you have to disclose your public data retention timelines, and there's a requirement not to retain any data that you don't have a current use for. So you really need to re-examine those types of requirements and make sure that you have something that's more than just a policy on paper in place. Make sure you have some sort of control, whether it's a technology solution or otherwise, to make sure that you are tracking your data movements and removing data that's no longer in place.